right, mic check. Here we go. Looks like we have good mic action here today, but let's just make sure. So, breaking news cutting into this song. Right? I'm cutting into this song here to find out if I have good sound on the mic. So let's see how it goes here. All right, good, loud and clear. All right.
Stay right.
Afternoon. Hope you're having a good afternoon here. I've been busy as usual. It seems like I always am. No matter how early I get up, I've always got something to do. But hope you've had a good day today so far. And I saw that Jason has a prayer request there. So make sure that you remember his wife in prayer at this time. And we'll pray to the Lord would give clarity and wisdom and instruction for all of those issues and things, health issues that are going on. Pray for all of us here. A bunch of us have colds, and I'm fighting it off. I drink a lot of water and do a lot of exercise, and try to get some sleep. So usually I don't get it too awful bad, but and I'm not. I'm okay actually. I'm just, it's kind of a little annoyance, but it's nothing really too bad, you know, in that sense. All right, Mike said he's just going to listen today. Okay. All right, Mike. We'll let you do that, Mike. Actually, so anyway, I need to get some throat spray or something, though. That always helps, a little bit of that. I had some from Dr. Scholl's, and I don't have any anymore, but I should get some more. I can make some up with cayenne pepper. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have a little bit. But, yeah, I don't get sick too often, thank the Lord. At least not outwardly. I get the devil attacking my mind quite a bit. And sometimes depression and anxiety and things like that will hit me. But other than that, I usually don't get too physically sick very often, thank the Lord. I don't like that oregano spray. All it does is it leaves this weird tickle in the back of my throat. I don't like the way it feels. It feels weird. It feels like it kind of scratches my throat. It's weird. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, I like Scholl's spray, and if I have to, I'll get some cayenne and I'll make it up again. And use that. But cayenne works great for preaching and for everything. But the fact that I've been talking all week and preaching and talking and being on the radio or on the internet here 6 hours. This will be 6 hours by the time I'm done, and then not counting Sunday for 3 hours, and Wednesday night and all that. Propolis is great for the throat. You can get it in spray and also drops. Yeah, I know. I can eat straight garlic, too. I need to eat some, actually. I need to eat some straight garlic. That's what I need to do. And I probably will. But again, I'm okay. I'm not feeling like terrible or anything like that. So I'm really fine. I'm actually surprised at how good I do feel from all that. Your internet connection seems to be slow. No, it isn't. Get out of here. What are you talking about? Better not be slow. If it is slow, I'm getting my money back. You know what? I think my internet connection is slow here, and I'm going to call Comcast or whoever these people are. And what's the name of these people? I don't know what their names are. But anyway, I'm going to call them up and tell them, hey, my internet at home is faster than this, and I pay a lot more money for this. So what's the deal? It's the man trying to bring me down. That's what it is. Rain Country says, marshmallow root mixed with an eye of bat is very good. Oh, she didn't say the eye of bat thing. I made that up. I made that up. right? So, I was just kidding. Spectrum, that's it, Carly. That's who they are. Spectrum. They need it. They need to hear from me. I'm going to let them hear it. I think that speed is too slow. Yeah. I'm hardwired into this. I'm not on Wi-Fi. I'm hardwired in. Right? And let me tell you what I did last night for fun before I get started this broadcast. I can actually be a person with you and I can actually talk to you. Isn't that great? I can actually talk to you. I just don't have to preach to you. I can actually talk to you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, some people might not like that. They might just want me to come on here and get right to business. But, right? I think it's good just to talk. Sometimes, right? Anyway, last night, I went out and bought some worms for my frogs. And I was feeding the frogs. And you haven't had any fun until you have toads and frogs in an aquarium. Right? Until you have frogs and toads in an aquarium and you watch them fight over worms. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, they can really go after it. They are the funnest to watch eat those worms, man. As soon as you throw one in, it's funny, because the frogs, they have eyes up, like up above, and they have eyes up above their head, kind of. So they see things when they come down. The toads don't. They see things more straightforward, kind of, right? So I put it down there, man. The frogs are on it, man. They see it right away. But the toads, they're so fat and mean, they just like come in there and they're like bullies. Right? Yeah, I don't know if the signal's coming in bad or what. I'm not sure. Is everybody else getting everything okay? Your daughters want poison dart frogs badly? Andrea, why don't you start with tree frogs? They're free and then they're like in your backyard. And they're easy to catch. They're really easy to catch. Don't get turtles. They're dirty and they stink. Oh, they stink bad. But if you get frogs, they live. And tree frogs are cool. Because tree frogs, they hook onto your finger. And they'll like just sit there. And then they'll pee all over you. But sometimes, not all the time. All right? But anyway, they are good. They are fun to have. They're fun to have around. Right? So, and the toads and the frogs, they get a little mad at each other, but they don't do too much. They kind of get along okay. They kind of do okay, so anyway. But so that's fun. And it's fun to watch. And you know what else is fun? When you turn on the lights outside and you get moths that fly around and you grab the moths by their wings and then you open up the aquarium and you toss in that moth. Right? And you toss in that moth. And then when you toss it in, man, they go to town on that moth, man. They go after that moth. They do. They go after it. It's kind of interesting. It's fun to watch. Now, they're my children's frogs and toads, but sometimes I have fun playing with them too, so it happens. It happens. So, I've ate frog legs before, Matt. the Matt Taos, whatever that means. I guess that's your name. I've ate those before. Frog legs taste like chicken. They're okay. They're fine. Not a big frog leg guy though. Right? But anyway, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with those. So our children like them, and along with Buster the Dog Wonder. Maybe Hannah, maybe you could send me a picture of Buster. Why don't you take a picture of Buster, an updated one, and send it to me on my text message here on my phone, and then I'll forward it to here, and then I'll show them what Buster the Dog Wonder looks like after all these months. Maybe we can do that. Right? So, maybe you can see, it's been a while since you've seen Buster the Dog Wonder, so some of you probably have never seen a picture of him. But anyway, so, all right, let's see. This will be the last program of the week, this week, Saturday. Or Friday, I will be taking off to spend with my family. It's supposed to be a warm day here, a decent day, 57 degrees, warm, and sunny out. So we'll see. Hopefully it stays that way. And so Saturday, I'll be studying for my sermon on Sunday and my sermon work there that I need to. So I'll be spending most of the day studying. On Saturday, Lord willing, the morning anyway, that is, getting through all the preparations for Sunday and everything like that. And I'm coming down around the time when winter's coming, and I'll be doing a lot more reading, I think, finishing books. I haven't read a bunch of books lately, but, you know, I kind of backed off of that for a little while, but I'll get back to that. And I want to do some book reviews for you, too, as well, in the future, and help you with some of those things. Good books that you could read that would be a benefit to you in different areas of your life. But I'm showing you this map for a reason. Actually, I'm not showing you this map. I'm showing you me. Hey, Luke, show me how to do this cool thing where I could transition. Watch this. Did you see that? Wasn't that cool? Watch. Anyway, I hope it's working. But anyway, can you see this map now? So here's the map. And there's a reason I'm showing you this map. I was going to go to Washington, D.C. over here. But you know what? I don't want to. You know why I don't want to? Because I don't want to be cold. So I'm thinking about where I want to go. And I want to go down south. Somewhere south, where it's warmer, right? Or, yeah, somewhere south, somewhere warmer, I don't know, somewhere I haven't been before. So, or maybe somewhere that's fun. So I'm trying to think about where to go to get away for a week or two or 10 days, right? And I'm thinking about going down, I don't know, somewhere around here maybe. I don't know yet. I could travel on down here. And it's still 90 in Texas. Yeah, it sure is. Texas is like its own nation. I don't even know. It doesn't seem like you guys have anything to do in Texas. Like, there's nothing there. It's like dry. Like, what do you people do there? I don't get what you do in Texas. Right? No, I can't take my family to South Africa. Let's see. Anyway, so there is Tennessee, and I've been there before, and we visited Andrew Jackson's plantation there, his home there in Texas, or in Tennessee, which was kind of a neat place. That was a fun place to go. Right? Yeah. I've been to the Smoky Mountains. And I really wouldn't be against going there again. We had a good time there, actually. Well, most of my family had a good time. I don't know if you could really say I had a good time. Right? But I think most of my family had a good time anyway. Anyway, but that was a rough time for me when I went there. So I don't know what the Smoky Mountains are like around this time of year. That area. I'm taking my parents with me. Pigeon Forge is cool. That's in Tennessee. Is that the same thing as Branson? Is Pigeon Forge like Branson? I can't remember. Anyway, we should think about that. You'll have to give me some suggestions. And I thought about Colorado, but I just think it'd be too cold in November. I don't know what the temperature is like there. But it sounds like a fun place to visit. I'd love to visit the mountains. I would, but I don't want to be in like a snowstorm. I could stay here for that, right? Anyway, I guess I've been rambling along long enough for 24 minutes, and I'm going to have people mad at me that listen to this video that don't really like to hear me talk anyway. They just want to hear some preaching, and No, I know, Amy Gaddis. What I meant by that is, isn't the attractions the same in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee? I don't know. I mean, I'd like to go all the way over there, but it wouldn't be bad. What about Tombstone, Arizona? What in the world's there? Yeah, probably. People are odd everywhere, though. If you live in Minnesota, people are odd everywhere. All right. Anyway, let's get going here with the Bible. All right. Here we go. Now, we're going to be in the book of Daniel here today, and I want to talk to you today. Man, make sure my microphone is still working. I'm checking. I want to talk to you today about the Antichrist and the references in the book of Daniel. Right? The book of Daniel gives many references to the Antichrist, many descriptions of the Antichrist. He's got a specific description, and it does match, it does actually match the other descriptions of, I'm going to turn this a little bit, of the Antichrist that when Paul describes him and Christ describes him. Okay? So there are a number of descriptions in the Bible that deal with the Antichrist. Daniel is given many specific revelations concerning the Antichrist. Really amazing ones that he's given. That Daniel doesn't really get everything, I don't think. He probably doesn't, of who he's talking about. But Daniel's a book of Revelation. And Daniel, he has a description of a coming one world government, and he has a description of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who will rule and reign there. He will rule and reign that kingdom. So get into your Bibles here if you would, and we're going to go through some of these. Are some of the notes that I've taken, and I'll back this up just a hair. So hopefully I can read it. I've got to read off my Bible. Now, man, I wish I could show you. I can't show you this, really. It's kind of hard. Okay, let me show you what my new study Bible looks like. Let me see here. All right, hang on. You see this? This is a huge three-ring binder. Or five-ring binder, I'm sorry. It's a big one, and it's wide margin, okay? It's a wide margin. Whoa, moving everything. Sorry, kids. It is a wide margin Bible, and it also has pieces for notebooks. For extra paper, extra paper that you can put inside of there. So if I want to take a sermon note and I want to expound on a thought, then what I can do with that is I can take that and I can expound even more on the thought, and then I can slide that in, clip it in, and shut it for my three-ring binder, or five-ring binder. And then if I want my Daniel note on Daniel chapter 2, then I could just come over here and I can pull the note out that I took, and it's right there. Now, you could do that electronically too, but I like to do it this way. I like to write it out, and I take some notes electronically. I used to take more, but now I kind of like this and everything like that. So anyway, so in this, I took some notes here when I went through the book of Daniel a few weeks ago, and I took some notes on Antichrist, on the Antichrist, and some thoughts that I had and that God showed me and kind of revealed to me through the scriptures, and just different things. Nothing that stands out like terribly or crazy or anything, but enough to where we can use Daniel's description, right? We can understand Daniel's description. By the way, you can order this King James Bible. You can order this. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it for you. Hang on a second. Let's see. Doom, 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 doom. Boy, that's an expensive one, man. I got a way better deal than that. This one's not a bad price. Let's see how much this one is. Ooh, man, I paid way less than that. Actually, it was a gift. Somebody bought it for me. I've got some really kind people in this church that buy me things. This guy's, yeah, here we go. This is it right here. Here you go, kids. Here you go, kids, right here. This is a really good deal. This is $30. This is $30. This is the best deal I've seen on this. Comes with the three-ring binder, comes with all of this. And if you act now, I'll throw it. I'm just kidding. I'm not selling anything. But this is what it is. $30. That is a good deal, and it is well worth it. A King James loose leaf Bible, and I think this one either came with it or the brother that bought it for me bought these notes extra for me. These refill sheets. He bought them extra. Right? I'm not sure. This is at christianbook.com. As you can see up here, christianbook.com. Now, it's big. This is holy buckets big. Okay, this Bible is, all right? No, the pages are not in plastic. The pages are not in plastic. They are not. You could laminate them if you wanted to, but it wouldn't do you much good for taking notes. But these pages are durable pages. They're very durable. So I suggest if you like to study, if you like to write and take notes, do that and buy this Bible. You'll like it. You'll like it. I think you'll appreciate it. All right. So enough of that. Let's see here. Let me get back to the electronic Bible here. So, I took those notes down, and as you know, I preached the Antichrist series. I've preached that, probably 18, 20 messages. I've preached on the Antichrist directly. You're addressing kids, huh? Maybe there's unknowingly truth in that, meaning young goats. I don't know what that point was, but anyway. Some people think that if they use, like, the word anon... Here, let me say this to you, okay? When somebody... This is it's kind of Pharisee language, okay? Let me help you out with some Pharisee language, okay? When somebody says things like, well, the Bible says that's a kid, and if you don't use this certain word, kids are for goats, and then if you use that word, then you're not right with God, and that's the way it is. Well, if you say that, then you can never say Bible either, because Bible's not in the Bible. So, I mean, I get it. I know. There's always got to be that guy out there. There's always got to be one of those guys out there. Always has to be one of those guys. Always has to be. I know. Anyway, all right, I'm going to move on. Always one of those guys. But anyway, that's okay. That's all right. We won't worry about it too much. I'll think about it for about 3 seconds. There, now I'm done. All right, next. I know, the kid goat thing, I know. Always one of those guys. Anyway, okay. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 2, please. Daniel chapter 2. The first phrase I want to show you is an interesting verse. And Daniel is speaking about God. But the reason I bring this up, right? The reason I bring this up, Daniel is because of the Antichrist. Because he's going to try to mock this. All right? So that's the first thing I want to show you. I want to show you the God of the Bible. Right? And then I want to show you what the Antichrist is doing. Daniel, chapter 2, verse number 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be. Let me move that up a little bit. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, the knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Right? So check this out. What is this all about? I'm going to show you. Look at this. This is a description in Daniel chapter 7, verse number 25. It's a description of the Antichrist and his kingdom when it comes. Okay? And Daniel chapter 7, verse number 25. Look what the Antichrist shall do. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now, you're going to hear that phrase more than once. The Antichrist, what he does is he speaks great words against God. Now, this is how you know that somebody is Antichrist. Because they speak great words against God. All right? That's what they do. They speak it against the God of the Bible. Now, here it is. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's the Most High? That's God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, I'm going to focus on that in a minute. Okay? But he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And we're going to get to that. And think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. Now, we're going to get to the first part of that. All right? We're going to get to the first part of that. But let's go back to Daniel chapter 1, let's go back there, or Daniel chapter 2, all right, and Daniel answers the king, and he says that God is the one that changeth times and seasons. What is the Antichrist going to do? And think to change times and laws. Okay, so here's what I want you to focus on here. How is he going to do that? I believe that this is a reference to changing laws, is a reference to the laws of nature. I believe that he is going to defy the laws of nature. He is going to be given power to defy the laws of nature. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? That he is going to be given the power and authority to defy the laws of nature. Because around his appearance, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking. Remember, he mocks Christ. He mocks what he does. So let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Okay? There's going to be false Christs and false prophets shall arise, right? Look at this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Stars don't fall like that. Sun's not darkened like that. Moon gives light. He's going to be able to have the power to change the laws of nature. He's gonna mess with the laws of nature. He's gonna change them. He's gonna make things happen in nature that are different. Therefore, defying the laws of nature. Remember how Christ stopped the storm? Remember how he stopped the storm? How he calmed the winds and he stopped the storm? Let's look. There's another one here. Let's see. Okay. Here it is. Look at this. It's going to happen at the same time this happens. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Right? As lightning fell from heaven. Now, what does it say here? It says the stars are going to fall. Now, if you go back to Daniel, Daniel talks about that same thing. Daniel talks about the same thing happening. Right? When you go back into the book of Daniel, he talks about that he drew the third part of the stars, right? That he draws the third. That's what Matthew says to our Revelation 9 says. Look at this. We'll go to Revelation 9, then we'll go to okay. Let's see, where is it? Okay, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This is the same type as the Antichrist is around, that he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Right? You see that? Well, Glenn, I believe you're gone because you're just here to argue, and you can go argue with yourself. How do you feel about that, Glenn? I'm not even concerned how you feel about that. Bye, Glenn. Okay, let's move on. Too much contention like that, and I just won't even have it around. It's not even worth it. He's just there to argue. He has a problem. And his problem is that nobody listens to him on his page or where he's at. So he wants to come here and get somebody to listen to them. There's a lot of people like that, by the way. They don't have anybody that listens to them. So they go on to other people's things and they try to do that. I can't stand that. I can't stand that attitude. It's like, okay, bye. Go on. We're trying to study the Bible here. We're not trying to sit and argue the whole time. Okay, anyway. By the way, the Bible says that the Antichrist is the man of sin, the son of perdition. It's a person. It's a person. Right? Okay, anyway, so he beheld, and then this says that a star fell from heaven, so we understand that star is an angel. We get that. Right? We get that. Now, in Daniel, there's another reference to it. Let me find it here. I think it's the goat. I think. I think. Let's see if it's right here. And I saw a ram, and there was a could deliver of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And I was considering, behold, a goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram and had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran under his fury and power. I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and their power. There was no power in the ram. Oh, here it is. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, a great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones for the four winds of the earth. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed great, toward the south, toward the east, towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down, look at this, and it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, the place of sanctuary. So there's some stars that were taken down. I believe that what's going to happen is they are going to, that the Antichrist, these stars are going to fall right around him to show his power. Okay? Right? That's what I believe. I believe you're going to see that. Stars are angels. Not always, but many times in Scripture, that's what they're depicted as. Okay, so we see that Daniel's talking about that. Jesus said that in Matthew 24. Okay? And then Revelation 9 talks about that. All right? So we see that Daniel is describing the same things. He's talking about that. He's talking about him that will change times and think to change times and laws. Okay? And I believe a lot of that's the laws of nature. I think he's going to defy the laws of nature. Miracles defy the laws of nature. Right? And I think it's possible that's what he's going to do. Okay? Let's see. I want to give you another one here. Hang on a second. We know Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist very clearly. And I used to think that Nebuchadnezzar might have been converted, but I don't believe so any longer. And the reason I say that is because all Nebuchadnezzar did was the same thing that he had to do. He had to admit that God was God because he was forced to. Satan is going to admit that the Lord is God too, right? Right? Satan is going to do the same thing. Remember that. Every knee is going to bow. All right, let's see. I am looking for something in Daniel. Here it is. Mm. I think we're going to go to Daniel chapter 7. That's where we're going to go. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And one could say Nimrod was the first Antichrist, or they could say Cain was the first Antichrist. Because Cain slew Abel. Right? So, in that sense, humanly speaking. And Cain had the mark. But you don't give up very easy because you keep coming back. Daniel chapter 7, we start to see the Antichrist in full swing here being described in many ways. Here we have his kingdom, a kingdom described here of the Ancient of Days coming, which is Christ, okay? And I saw in the night visions in verse number 13, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom and all power, or the kingdom and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel chapter 7 starts out dealing with the kingdom of Christ, right? And dealing with that. Well, don't forget, actually, we should go back. We should go back to Daniel chapter 2, and we should talk about Daniel chapter 2 and the iron mixed with the clay. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So there's a final kingdom coming that's going to mix iron with clay. All right, and that's going to be That mixture is going to be the iron mixed with the clay. That's going to be the mixture of Satan's kingdom versus man coming into the kingdom of man. It's a merging of that satanic kingdom together. Now, I happen to believe it's going to have something to do with technology. Let me say this to you, the guy that keeps doing this, you're not a hurt man, because hurt men don't keep doing that. They don't keep making fake accounts up, and they don't have like 1,000 accounts like that. It's just ridiculous, and you hate God that much that you have to try to stop this broadcast. But it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's why you do that. That's the purpose. I pray you do get saved by the grace of God. Look, Jesus Christ, this Ancient of Days, this Son of Man that came to die on the cross for sinners and was buried and rose again from the dead, can change your crooked, wicked heart and make you a new creature. Absolutely, he can. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. And in him you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that call upon his, even them that believe on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen and amen. Now, get thee behind me, Satan. I've got work to do. All right. So here it is. Daniel chapter 2, the iron mixed with the clay. We see that firsthand. We see that kingdom that is merged together, that kingdom that is coming. It is on the way. It is on the way. It's already here. Technology is part of that. You've seen it in Terminator. You've seen it in AI. We've seen it in mind control technology. We've seen it in DARPA. We've seen it in all these different things, these merging of man with the mind, with machine, with the computer. All these people have talked about it, okay? So that's what it is. It is there and it's coming. It's the consciousness, it's coming, the sentient, to make they're forming the God of their pocket. They're forming the God in their pocket. It's coming, okay? So understand that. That's exactly what's happening today. This is the kingdom, this is the new world order that is described. Okay? It's coming. Elon Musk has talked about it, that's right, and many others. And many others that won't. It has to do with the hybrids and everything else. Right? It's all there. like the old, like one of those old, what do you call it? Slogans they had out there. It's all inside. It's right there in that King James Bible. It's all inside. Okay? All right, so let's keep moving here. And Daniel chapter 2. So that's Daniel chapter 2, but let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 here. A lot going on in Daniel chapter 7. I beheld till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Who's that? That's God the Father there, I believe, on the throne, and Jesus Christ. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels burning as burning fire. Those are the wheels, the chariots. Right? The Lord rides on a chariot. The angels are his chariots. Think about all that. Pastor Hoggard covers that. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before the judgment was set before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Amen. There's going to be some books. And I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain. Amen. The beast is going to be slain one day. I can't wait until that day. I can't wait till that day when the beast is slain. One day, friend. One day. It's coming. Till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Amen. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he is coming with great power and glory one day. But notice where he comes. He comes in the clouds. In the clouds. With the clouds. And there was given him dominion and glory. So that's him. But now Daniel sees something that churns his stomach. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Well, here we go. Verse 21, and I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. This is that horn that will rise up, this Antichrist. That will, horn symbolizes power, all right? And that horn is the Antichrist that makes war. He made war with the saints and prevailed against him. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen. One day, friend. One day. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread down and break it in pieces. So the fourth kingdom. Number four. The fourth kingdom. It is going to devour the entire earth. What does that sound like? Sounds like this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet Whereas the feet of a bear, remember this guy, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I want to talk sometime about the dragon's mouth, but not today. All right? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the dragon gives him his power, and he speaks like a dragon. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Where do we see that? Man, we're going to go off everywhere. Are you paying attention? Daniel. Look. Look at your King James Bible. Back to Daniel 7. Here's Daniel 7, verse 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. There it is. Look at verse 20 in your King James Bible. And of the 10 horns there were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before him 3 fell. Even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. He's the one that speaketh great things. Right? Whose look was more stout than his fellows. So that's Daniel chapter 7. We see these great things again in Revelation 13. There's a lot of greatness that's attributed to him. Do you understand that? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Right? And them that dwell in heaven. A mouth speaking great things. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Didn't we see that already? Didn't we see that I think we saw it over here, didn't we? Let's see. Yeah, it says here around verse 20. Look at that. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. What did Revelation 13 tell us? And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. And he was given unto him power to make war with the saints. He's able to make war with the saints. On a side note, isn't it weird how many people are spamming this broadcast and for what reason? If you're a Christian, which I doubt, that hates my guts, I'm only preaching the Bible. Why would it bother you? If you're a lost person, why would you have a problem with this? If its book isn't real, why are you getting so mad? Right? Let's see. Hang on a second here. Hang on a second. I think it's time for a little break here in this song.
It's plain to see how good the Lord has been. But I hear some people say, put that old black buck away. And then I just remind them once again that it's just a book that saved me from damnation. It's just a book that cleansed me from my sin. It's just a book that founded this great nation. And it's our only hope to get her back again. Bible. They don't care to hear what Jesus Christ has done. They speak with such conviction and condemn us with such boldness. But to show that book, demand just watch them run. It's just a book. Why are you running? It's just a book. Why get so mad? It's just a book. Why get so nervous? It's just a book that knows every thought you have. Showed me full salvation. It's just a book that read my title clear. It's just a book that gives me the victory. It's the King James Bible that I hold so dear. It's just a book that saved me from damnation. It's just a book that cleansed me from my sin. It's just a book that founded this great nation. And it's our only hope to get her back again. And it's our only hope to get her back again.
Amen. If it's just a book, why are you getting so angry? They don't know, do they? We know why, though. We know why they're getting angry. Oh, I forgot to transition that, so you couldn't see who that was. I'm sorry. That's why you're asking me all those questions. That's who that is. Same ones that brought to you.
Searching for a beach vacation?
Not bad.
Find it at Vrbo. They search millions of homes to find
really
your perfect.
Gotta get my filter on that. Same group. Go buy their music. They seem to be nice people. I don't know them. All right. Anyway, let's get back to what we were doing. I don't know what that meant, Christine Jane. I have no idea what you meant by that. No clue. Anyway, One thing I figured out in life is I don't try to please everybody that listens to me, because if I tried to, I would go nuts. I have one that I need to please, and that's God in heaven. Everybody else can take a back seat as far as I'm concerned. I do what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I ever stop doing it for that reason, I'll get tired of people real quick. So I have to keep my focus right on Jesus. Amen. I'm going to keep going here. All right. Anyway, so he doeth great wonders, right? So this says that he's going to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power is given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, but the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. All right, here we go. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Right? So here's those great words that we find in Daniel chapter 7. We find the Antichrist speaking these great words against God. All right, Daniel chapter 7. We're going to go back there here. And of the ten horns, here's the great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. That means the Antichrist is going. He's going to stand out. The Antichrist is going to stand out above everyone else, which is what the Bible tells us, by the way. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. Right? And shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Well, what do we find that? We find the same thing as the Antichrist kingdom and his New World Order kingdom does the same thing in Revelation chapter 13. The same thing is described. So what do we have? We have the pre-incarnate, or before the New Testament, picture, right? Uh-oh. Error. I don't know what's going on here. YouTube is not receiving enough video to maintain smooth streaming, as such viewers will experience buffering. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and the others, the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. That's determined, isn't it, later on? Later on, that's determined in the book of Revelation that he is, or actually 2 Thessalonians, if we go there. Let's look there. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The Spirit is already there. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This describes him, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. All right. So here we go. When we go back to Daniel chapter 7, we see the comparison there of the description.
Plow through it, so I got to get moving here. But I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, please. And I've been preaching on the Antichrist, and I'm going to continue to preach on the Antichrist. And I'm going to present something to you through the scriptures here tonight that will make you think. Okay? And I believe it's ironclad. I believe that I prove it through the scriptures that the Bible says this. But the title of this message is Satan's Son, the Incarnation of Iniquity. And I want to talk to you about the Antichrist being Satan's son and how he is he will be the incarnation of iniquity and what the Bible says about that. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3 because that's really where it starts. And I'm going to show you how Paul says this, how Moses said this, as he recorded from God, and how Jesus said the same thing, and Daniel. So many witnesses of this very thing, of what's being talked about. Very intricate, but you have to understand that Satan is a mimicker. That's what he is. He mimics everything. He's a mocker. Right? If there's a Project Mockingbird, it's Satan. He is the head of that project, okay? And that's exactly what he does. But he is not God. But he sure wants to be. So let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us as we go through the scriptures, Lord. Show us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's two seeds that are being discussed here, right? There is the seed of the woman, which we know to be Jesus Christ, and there is the seed of Satan. Now, don't be confused with the Satan seed doctrine that is taught by people that says that, well, Eve had a child with Satan, and that was Cain, and that's how that happened, because that's taught out there. That is a perversion. It is a Kabbalistic perversion of the truth. That's all it is. It's a bunch of New Age nonsense is all it is. And it's been told for a long time. It's not true. But there is a truth that Satan will have a seed. But I'm going to show you that, okay? He will have one. All right, so the Bible foretold of the coming of the Antichrist. All the way back in Genesis, we could see at the beginning of the Bible told us what would happen. That there would be a showdown between these two seeds. And there will be an end game and a war that ends it. But the question that might be asked is this. Is the Antichrist Satan's literal son? Yes. Absolutely. How that's all going to exactly play out, we don't know yet. We're not sure. Exactly. I think we can see how he's going to do it. I can explain to you how he's going to do it, but I can't explain to you every intricate detail. because God's going to reveal that. What does the Bible say? He will be revealed in His time. So we don't know all the answers, but we are pointed in the direction. And God did give us all through the Word. So I guess the first thing is you have to understand about Satan. That's the first point I want to make tonight is, first look at how Satan has always mimicked God. Always. Listen to this. Do we read of Christ going forth to sow the good seed? Yes. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. You have to be quick tonight. I'm telling you. Lee, you're not going to be able to sleep, man. You're going to have to be quick tonight. You can't snooze. You ain't going to be able to snore, man. You got to move tonight, man. Like one preacher said, right, you get paid by the hour, you got to preach fast.
Testing. That's yeah, I can see the volume listens. Now.
Everybody in here knows that, but... I don't need another video. Look, see? I told you. Oh, man. People are bored. Anyway. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept,
Satan's
his enemy came and sowed tares
right
among
now,
the wheat.
Locked up. You are crazy.
Who is that? That's Satan. Satan comes to sow. So Christ sows the good seed. What does Satan sow? The tares. He sows the tares. What?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw somebody on there say that that Satan is bound. No. No. Satan is not bound. Satan is not bound, and the 1,000 years is not figurative. Okay? Anyway, I don't even know where we were at. I got to get back to where we were. But for more Antichrist sermons, you can go here, and you can find them at sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, and you can listen to this one. You can listen to this one, The Incarnation of Iniquity, in dealing with Satan's son. All right, the mock incarnation and all that good stuff there. All right? If Satan was bound, why would Peter tell us that Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour? Yeah, that'll hurt you in your little prophecy parts there when you find that out, because that's what the Bible says. Right in your brain there. That'll get you. But it's pretty obvious that's exactly what he's talking about is Satan. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. All right, anyway. Yeah, exactly. All right, so now we've got the audio back on. Thank the Lord. I'm glad I caught it in time so I could put something on there for you so there wasn't a bunch of blank space there. Now, Daniel chapter 7, we were talking about the 10 horns out of his kingdom and 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to wear them out. Right? There is nowhere in the Bible that says, Samantha, I want to correct your theology, woman, let me correct your theology for you, young lady, or old lady, whatever you are, that very plainly and very clearly that Satan is not locked up, and the Bible does not say that God locked Satan up. It does not say that at all. There is nowhere in the scriptures that says that he is down there locked up. Not at all. And he locked him up and came out with the keys. Jesus already had the keys. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus had to take the keys from Satan. Nowhere does it say that. It doesn't say that at all. Right? Not in the Bible. Not there. Sounds like a good story. But not the Bible. Okay, friend? And I'm not mad at you, and I don't want you to go away. I'm just telling you that I want you to understand that when you come on here and try to correct everybody and try to teach everybody your theology, first of all, you're out of line. Second of all, why don't you go do it on your own page? What do you come here to do it for? What is it with all the Jezebels that want to come on here and straighten out Pastor Cooley? I'll tell you what, I've had enough Jezebels in my day that have come to try to check me out, and then I become that Jehu and Elijah and all those other prophets mixed into the bunch there, and they get mad at me, and then they don't like me anymore. Okay. Anyway. Well, I mean, it's just not correct. We can all be wrong about something, but it's not correct theology. It doesn't say that anywhere. I don't know who Carmen is, but I knew who Carmen Electra was, but I don't know who Carmen is. Anyway. All right. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to wear them out. Why? Making war against them. He's going to make war against them. And he's going to wear them out. Now, this is spiritual warfare. And in spiritual warfare against the devil, which is our daily living, I'm going to preach. We're going to talk about counterfeit spiritual warfare sometime. Right? We'll talk about that. I keep saying right. That's going to make people mad. People don't like when I say things over and over again sometimes. I don't know. Not that I really care. Right? Anyway, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and take the changed times and laws. Now, the Bible warns us not to be weary in well-doing, because Satan's going to try to make us weary. He's going to try to wear us out. And the Antichrist, when he shows up, it's going to be constant warfare. Constant warfare. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy him at the end. Notice that Daniel, his spiritual warfare and what he went through. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Yes, Jim, strong spiritual warfare. But real warfare. All right. As we look at this, great words against the Most High. I took some notes here. And number two, he will wear out the saints of the Most High. And three, he thinks to change times and laws, which we talked about. Times. They are changing. Aren't they? They are changing. We are seeing things transform before our eyes. The Pope is bringing his priests out of the closet, and they're all going to be homos. He's bringing them out of the closet. And he's going to let them marry. He's going to let Rome do whatever it wants to do as long as he can merge them all together. And that's what's happening. Right? It is happening as we speak. So he's going to change the times. And that's what he's doing. The Bible says that they'll be given into his hand. They'll be given into his hand. Some of us are going to die by the hand of Antichrist. Right? Some of us are going to die. You say, well, I'm pre-trib. Well, you might be. But that don't mean you're not going to die. Because the Bible says that the falling away takes place and then the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition. Okay? That's what he says. That's what's going to happen. All right, and then the next thing we talk about is they shall be given in his hand, and saints shall tread. He shall tread under. The saints shall tread his kingdom underfoot, right? Let's see that. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen. All right, let's see here. And Daniel, we talked about him being much troubled by that. Now, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. He describes Antichrist again. I do not have anything against Israel in that sense. I know I'm going to have the pre-tribbers that are going to tell me that I'm wrong, but I am not a replacement theologian, and I do believe that all Israel will be saved, and I do believe there is a regathering of Israel together, and I also believe that those are going to be killed that do not repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the saints, are going to be fought against. And if you believe a pre-trib rapture, I'd like you to give me one stinking verse that proves it. I'd just like one, because I want to believe it. Believe me, I used to believe it. And man, do I ever want to fly away. Oh, glory, do I want to fly away. So if you got it saved by grace, you show me the one you got, and let's all fly. Amen and amen. But I'm telling you what, the deception is coming upon all the earth. It is coming upon all the earth. And there is a remnant, and that remnant will be all Israel that is saved. It is the remnant that is saved by the same gospel. And if you believe there's somebody saved any other way, you've been listening to John Hagee too long. Because there's one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ and His precious blood. That's it. There ain't no other way to be saved. Israel's not going to be saved by a bloodline. There's no replacement gospel. The four winds of Ezekiel are going to blow on those dry bones that are already in the nation and the land now, and they will live. They will live. I don't believe in three raptures. Unless, of course, you're talking about the rapture of the wicked, which is going to take place. But anyway, there's one way to be saved. And we ain't leaving until that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, until that sixth seal is broke. We ain't leaving. We ain't getting out of here unless we die. I've been looking for it for many years. Hey, I even preached it. Come up hither. I preach, come up hither. Man, I said, that's the rapture verse. Come up hither. Then I got to study, and then I was like, man, that ain't no rapture verse. He's just giving John a vision. So I'm just telling you that there's only one way to be saved. And I know all the Ruckmanites, what they say, and their vehement hate for me that mounts up because I preach against a lot of their leaders' heresy. Don't get me started. I don't even want to get started on Ruckmanites and their dispensationalism. Oh my goodness, I don't want to get started on it. There's one way to be saved. It's the gospel. That's it. There's no replacement gospel. There's one. And they shall look on him whom they have pierced. It's okay. I believe the Bible shows more pre-trib. Prove it. I said one verse saved by grace. One verse. Give me one verse. Give me one. Again, I used to preach it, but I can't give you one. I can't. And by the way, you'll never accuse me of being a replacement theologian, because I do not believe that, in a figurative return. I believe in a literal return of Israel. I absolutely do. I am a classic premillennialist. I'm a classic premillennialist. Okay? Which was post-trib and literal return of Israel. I believe in dispensations too. I don't discount all of that. I absolutely don't. But I'm very moderate with it. I believe I'm biblical. Now, you might have some differences with me on that, but I don't believe in Darwin's system. Right? All right. So where were we now? Till I was attacked by the pre-trib mob. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't care if you're pre-trib. We could be friends. Doesn't matter to me. Daniel chapter 8. We're going to get back into this. I'm telling you what, man. I feel like I've been through a war today, but I feel pretty good. Woo! I've had so many people knocking on the chat here fighting. Right? They've been coming after me, man. I don't know what the deal is, man, but I have all the trolls coming under. They come out from underneath their bridges, and they're ready to fight. All right, let's get into Daniel chapter 8. Daniel's going through a lot. Let's see, verse number 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed to the end shall be the ram which thou sawest having two horns, and the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. Where have we seen that phrase? Right? Something similar to that phrase. The transgressors come to the full. Right? Now, let's see. I'm going to show you that. Look at this. Same time. Where's it at? Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's when the transgressors are come to the full. See that? Same time. Because iniquity shall abound. What is abounding today? Sorcery and pornography? Constantly? By the way, somebody just asked me, are flat earthers friends? Well, They are if they don't start fights with me. If they don't start fights with me on my page and try to spam my page with flat earth stuff all the time, and they can just talk about what we're talking about and not relate everything back to the flat earth as if the Bible is typologically designed to give you pictures of the flat earth constantly through it and everything, then hey, it's cool. I'm not going to sit and fight with you over it. I don't want to fight with you over it. When the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance shall arise. Here comes a king of fierce countenance that will stand up. That is the Antichrist. He is the opposite of the meek and the lowly one. He's a warrior that arises. Right? He's a warrior. He's a king of fierce countenance. Fierce. And understanding dark sentences. I think he's going to be able to understand all that dark language that we don't know. Right? He's going to merge those languages together. Does that make sense? I mean, he's going to merge those, you know, all those symbols that we don't know? Think about it if it's the ancient astronaut theory. He's going to be able to describe the language. And he's going to understand all those dark sentences. And he's going to come back from space, right? Think about it. Shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Why? Watch this. Here's why. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. See that? And he shall destroy wonderfully. He's going to destroy wonderfully. And shall prosper. And practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Okay, let's see. Matthew chapter 24, you're using Matthew chapter 24. Yeah, I know. No, he's not. I want absolute verses that say here that the rapture is pre-trib. I have absolute verses that say that it isn't. That the falling away takes place and the man of sin, the son of perdition, is there. But you know what? We're not going to get into this debate and have a long debate on my thread. If you want to preach pre-trib, you can go do it over on yours. It's cool. Go ahead. But this is about the Antichrist. This is not about the pre-trib rapture. Because it's not there. But anyway, we're not going to have a full-blown debate here about the rapture. This isn't the place for it. I asked you for one verse and you didn't give it to me. So Matthew 24 does not preach a pre-trib rapture. Not even close. Anyway, but let's look at this. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and peace, and by peace shall destroy many. Look at this, though. So how does he magnify himself in his heart? I'll show you. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth as God, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
All right. We'll deal with who he is and who he represents and everything like that. We know he's Satan, but you'll understand better when we go through that. But after tonight, you'll understand better his relationship. Okay?
There is
so
God.
Satan mimics all the miracles and everything else. That's his practice. But this all ends up in a physical manifestation of Satan in the flesh through the Antichrist. The greatest lie ever told. But it's not a new lie. It's the same old lie. And I'm going to show you that. Man will fall for it and will be consumed by the incarnation of iniquity. So, let's go. Number one here. Or is this number two? This would be number two, technically. The Bible tells us that there is a mystery of iniquity. So, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. We're going to start here, and then we're going to move through all the scriptures that deal with the Antichrist being Satan's son. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, stop. Do you think Satan's going to mimic that? Well, is there anything that God has done that Satan hasn't mimicked? Think. Nope. Everything. Everything about the attributes of God, everything about God I just showed you, he mimics. And Scripture, if you believe you have a perfect Bible, then you look at the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. What is it? And what? How will he pull over the greatest lie ever? Because it's the oldest lie that has ever been told. That's how. Right? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's God. That's Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. We know that God's Holy Spirit has always been at work as well in his children. So then you have the mystery of iniquity, okay? 1 Timothy, right. The mystery of iniquity, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery, now we're going to compare. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Stop. So what does that mean? Just as God's Spirit has always worked in his children, right, to will and to do of his good pleasure, so Satan's Spirit has been at work in what? The children of disobedience. That's how the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's how it's always worked. It's not that the manifestation of Satan has not come yet. But his spirit is working. It's called the spirit of Antichrist, or the mystery of iniquity. From the beginning, his job was to do something. In his mind, anyway. After he fell. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Who's that wicked? The Antichrist. He's going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him. Pay attention to these words. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. It's after his working. His work. The Antichrist is Satan's work. With all power.
All right, let's see. Can you hear me now?
Which we're going to see in the side of the beast, right? We see that in Revelation 13. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. That is directly talking about the Antichrist appearing. That's what that's talking about. Do you notice how it says the mystery of iniquity? Where is that? Who is being talked about in that verse? In those verses, who's being talked about? Who's the wicked one? Who's that wicked shall be revealed?
All right, I think you're back on here. I think we are here.
Who is the son of perdition, the man of sin, the Antichrist? Why is he called the mystery? Why is the mystery of iniquity mentioned there? Because
my goodness, what a battle today! The trying of your faith worketh patience. Most of you have stayed on, though, so I appreciate that. I really do. I'm sorry. I don't know what the deal is. As far as the trolls go, and, you know, just generally people that disagree, I don't have to pay attention to the thread, and I probably won't, to be honest with you, if it interrupts too much with it. But we've had a lot of trolls on there, so it's just been kind of crazy. But anyway, but let's see. We are on, we've pretty much finished up here. Well, we talked about him exalting himself through his policy, which means he's going to run the world through policy. That policy means that's the way that he's going to govern the world. Okay, he's going to cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning. So he talks about that. So Daniel, he's describing the Antichrist. And let's see here. In Daniel chapter 8, that is his description. So Kraft will prosper in his hand. He'll be able to understand dark sentences and mighty power. He'll be coming after the power of Satan will be given to him. Man, should we keep going? I could keep going. I'm almost finished. If you guys want to hang on, I can finish here. Most of you have hung on. There's about 70 of you on, so most of you have hung in there. If you want to hang on, I'll finish Daniel chapter 10 here, or Daniel chapter 11 here. And we'll finish the teaching. All right? Yeah, you're probably behind a little bit. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. We're going to have to work the kinks out of our equipment here. It's nobody's fault. It's just the way that it is. So it's just the nature of having equipment. And I want to make sure everything is top-notch and good. So I'm going to have to see what Luke and I will have to get together and figure out what we have to get and, you know, figure out how to get it. You know, whatever it's going to cost or whatever the case may be. So we're going to have to figure out if we need to get some different things and all that good stuff, okay? So give us some time here. We'll work it out. It's not fun, but it isn't anybody's fault. It's just the nature of the way things go. So except the devil's. I think he's has a hand in it today. I think a lot of people are trying to go against us here, the devil's people anyway today. Now, if somebody's pre-trib, they're not a devil, okay? So don't misunderstand me. I have a lot of friends that I love very dearly that are pre-trib. I have family that's pre-trib. I have friends that are pre-trib. It isn't a dividing factor for me. They would, you know, many of them would say the same thing. Okay, I'm not going to live my life like that against God's people. So I want you to understand that. Let's see here. Daniel chapter 11. Okay, here we go. Verse number 30. Let's go to verse number 30 here. Verse number 30. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved in return, have indignation. Let's go to 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Okay, this is the way that the Antichrist works. Okay? This is the way he works. Flattery. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Flattery. Flattery. By flatteries. So, those that are already wicked, they're going to be flattered by him. They're going to be flattered by the Antichrist. They're going to follow him. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. So the people that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. They're going to war against him. They that understand among the people shall instruct many. So those in that time period will instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by the flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. So they will be helped. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Many shall cleave to them. What are they going to use? Flatteries. So they're going to attach themselves to the people of God, and they're going to use flatteries against the people of God. They're going to flatter the people of God. Okay? That's what they're going to do to them. They're going to use it to flatter them. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them. Some of God's saved children are going to fall into some of that flattery. I've fell for flattery before. Let me give you the big picture. I have. I've fell for flattery before. Sure I have. But we repent of it. Right? We repent of it. Women like to use flattery. Women like to use flattery. They like to use it against men. And I don't mean in a sexual way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just flattery. They'll use it. And by the way, not everybody that compliments is being flirtatious. They praise the Lord. They send a testimony. Or not flirtatious. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, are not being flattering. They're not flattering. Not everyone that does that is being, are they flattering? Some of them are genuinely praising the Lord for what happened, you know, the work that God's done and how a message has touched them or something like that. But others are using, they use flattery. Yep. And I've had it. I've had them do it. I've had men and women do it. Before they were going to stick me, they buttered me up like a, so they could stick me easier. Is what they did. Right? It happens. It happens. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them. God uses it to try us and to teach us lessons. And to purge. Those are salvation things. Try. That's a salvation thing. God tries them. Those that are saved, the trying of their faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God allows you to go through trials, which is more precious than gold. And to purge. It purges them. That's another. God purges us that we bear more fruit. Right? That we bear more fruit, so he purges us. And to make them white, even at the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So God's going to allow during that time period men to be tried, and they're going to fall. They're not going to fall away, but they're going to fall. And God's going to use it to try them, to teach them, to purge them, and to make them white, and to burn off the dross. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Where have we seen that? Right here. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined to be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Look, who opposeth and exalteth himself of all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he has God, is in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, he's going to exalt himself. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. No, committing sin is your fault. Now, God will use a sin sometimes to humble his people, but he will not. God is not the author of you to continue in sin, that grace may abound. Purging means that he purges out from you sin. He makes you hate it. He makes it vile to you. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate he shall honor the god of forces, which is Satan. And a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the strongholds with a strange god. Whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. So he goes on and he starts to explain some more things. This is what's coming. All right, let's see if I have... We're not going to talk about the mouth of the dragon today. We're done here, I believe. Let's see... Yep, we're not going to talk about... I do want to talk to you about Angel Wars sometimes. We're going to talk about that. He talks about the end here. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So, he's talking about Daniel. He's talking about the end times. Knowledge shall increase. All kinds of things. So anyway, all right. Well, that is the conclusion of Daniel's description of the Antichrist, at least today, my conclusion on it, cross-referenced with many other scriptures in the Word of God. And I just felt like getting in the Bible today. I just wanted to get in the straight Bible today with you. And it seems like because I wanted to do that, all hell came after me and all the forces of hell came after me because I wanted to get in the Bible with you and teach you the Word of God today. Which tells me I just need to teach you more of the Word of God and just continue on and just teach more like that and go over things like that and you know, go through everything. Bernard Christopher says, Pastor has relaxed a lot over the last year or two. What do you mean by that? You mean me? Is that what you mean by that? That strange god could be the beast. It could, or the image to the beast. It could be, for sure, the image of the beast. Well, I hope it explained a lot to you. It gives you a lot to study. There's more in Daniel. But did you see all the comparisons with Revelation and Daniel? And everything, how back and forth. You think I've calmed down? Really? Well, probably in some ways. The Lord has a tendency to temper us, but there's different seasons of life. And for this season, God has me a little different. And that's just the season that we're in, for sure. But, you know, Well, Frohlin, I've already talked to you about that. I don't think a pastor should be into CCM. And I think if they play it at church and all that stuff that I... Once the music goes, the Bible version is next. That's usually what happens. You know, that's usually what happens. Oh, your dad didn't like listening to me because I yelled too much? Well, I don't yell on the broadcast, but I think I yell in sermons a lot. I think. I'm pretty sure I yell in sermons just as much. But on a broadcast, when I'm sitting here, I probably won't yell as much. But I don't shout as much sitting in this chair because I'm sitting down. But if you don't mind, will all Jews then become saved? Am I understanding? Rain country, no. Many of them will fall. The Bible says that a third of them, two-thirds of them, I believe, will be destroyed. So the all Israel will be saved is the one-third that is left, remaining. Does that make sense? It's going to be the remnant. The rest of them are going to be slaughtered. But I believe the ones that follow Christ are going to be the ones that flee, and they follow him. You know, that's the difference. It's not going to be every Jew of that time that's going to be saved. It's those that are not destroyed by the Antichrist, or the ones that flee to Christ, they will be saved. So that's how all Israel will be saved. The rest of them are destroyed, I believe. That's my understanding of the text anyway, that two-thirds of them are destroyed. And there's only one-third left. So I could be wrong about that, but I'll look into that. But the Bible says, as is written, all Israel will be saved. So I believe that's how. There's a remnant of them that are saved at the end. And I still believe that. I have not been convinced by any of the replacement theologians and those that do not believe in a literal return of Israel to the land. I've not been convinced by any of those people that they are correct in what they teach. So, it's just, I don't believe they are. So, I like to yell when it's appropriate, when it's time to. But I've been preaching a lot of different sermons as of late. So, the Lord has really had me do a lot of different types of teaching right now. This, which I'm not going to stand up and yell too much when I'm doing this, because I'm on a broadcast, so it's a little different. When I preach on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon is actually, we're going through Keach's Catechism, but I don't put that online. I haven't put that online. Our church is going through it. There's things that I disagree with Keach on, but it's good catechism to go through, and I'm teaching our church through Keach's Catechism. So that's a little different. And then on Wednesdays, I'm teaching in the book of Acts. Right. Well, let me tell you this, Katie Porter. I would not be post-trib if I hadn't studied it out myself and came to that conclusion and said, you know what, something's wrong with this teaching of pre-trib, and here's why. But I came to a classic pre-millennial position, which is post-trib. And I'm going to tell, oh, boy. Did you ever give me a good idea? Boy, did you give me a good idea. Let me tell you something. I have a lot of information. I have a lot of information about when Darby's doctrine of the imminent return was first brought to the premillennial groups. And Darby is most certainly the man that started the doctrine of that popularized the doctrine of eminence. He's the one that started the doctrine of the imminent return. That nothing had to happen. He is the one that popularized that. There may have been others that believed it before, But Darby popularized it, and he split that pre-mill conference straight down the middle. He split it straight down the middle. And I have the records and can prove it. I have them in my office. I have the books that prove of the minutes of those meetings that took place and what happened. And there's a lot of information, and I should probably cover it. I should probably do some broadcasts on it, actually. This might just prompt me to do it. You know, but I have a lot of the records. And most people were classic premillennialists. Most people were classic premillennial, but they were not pre-trib. That did not come until that did not come into popularity until Darby talked about his doctorate of eminence. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll look at it this week. But Matthew 24 is the 70th week about Jews in Judea. No, part of Matthew 24 has been already fulfilled. The other part of it hasn't been, and there's some key figures to understand in all that. But anyway, here's the thing. I'm not going to lose any friends over it unless they don't want to be my friends anymore because they disagree with me on the timing of the rapture. And I really think they could take it up at the judgment seat of Christ, as far as that goes, if God's okay with that. I got no I got no problem defending my position if I need to with people. I don't have a problem with it. I have no problem defending it, because if I come out with it, I'm going to tell you what, it's pretty specific. It is very specific. But there is no comparison to Paul splitting the council. Paul split that room up so he didn't die. He played on the Pharisees and the Sadducees so he could, because he knew that they wouldn't get a consensus against him, and that's why he split it. That's not a fair comparison. That isn't a fair comparison to what Darby did. But anyway. It's all I want is one good verse on that the rapture is pre-trib. I'm still looking for it. The best verse that people have on it. Because Matthew 24 is not dealing with specifically just Israel. It's not. There's some language for Israel there. But there's more to it than that. So, anyway, maybe we'll go through it next week. Either way, it doesn't matter in the sense of it matters if you're to be right or wrong. But what it doesn't matter is it's not a matter of separation between people that disagree on the timing of the rapture. It shouldn't be. The Bible says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, the Bible says comfort one another, not war to the death with these words. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that with God's people. I'm not going to do that. You know, but I think it's wrong to do that. It's okay. We'll talk about it sometime, and I'll just lay my position out. I'm going to get out of here, though. I got to go work out. I'm going to lay my position out, and then we'll go from there. But I'm not going to sit and argue about it like that. I mean, and by the way, I'm not offended by anybody's comments over here about it. I'm not. Not at all. I'm not upset with anybody about it. So let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Hey, Mike from Westmont. Good to hear from you. So, okay, Katie Porter, here's what I want you to do. All right. You're forcing me to do it. I'm going to do it. I think Tex Mars is a plant. That's what I believe. He's a Knight of Malta. Right. So anyway, yeah, good, honest discussion. No beef. No problem with it. All right, guys. I love you all. All right. Yep, exactly, Katie Porter. That's true. But he also said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and God will see us through anything." But it is interesting to say this. Matthew 24, much of it is dealing with the destruction of the temple. But that's not all it's dealing with. But it's dealing with part of it. So we will talk about it again. Amen? All right, I got to go. I got to get out of here. Love you all. Pray for us. Pray we have a good day tomorrow. Pray the weather's good tomorrow. And pray I get a lot of stuff done in my garage tonight. I got a lot of work to do. Trying to get everything done. And pray the Lord bless us. Amen. And keep everybody from sickness. All right, everybody. God bless you.